Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said build bridges instead of walls. We're happy to have the privilege again of Bible study, and we appreciate so very much your listening to our Bible meditation program. As we study together the Word of God, we have a picture as to what God thinks about our conduct and what God wants us to do. So we appreciate Bible study. We return now to our discussion in regard to the ancient landmarks. You know there was warning given to the children of Israel in regard to the removal of landmarks. Their property was laid out and marked as being theirs by landmarks such as a tree or maybe a huge rock or something of that nature, maybe a stream that went by, and those landmarks were not to be bothered with. The children of Israel were given this admonition in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy father hath set." Leave the landmarks alone. A man's property depended on those landmarks being where they always have been. Now, that's an illustration of what we have today in regard to spiritual landmarks that have been set by God. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. When God said, "This is what to do," abide by it. 2 John 9-11 indicates the fact that God, as it were, has set the boundaries, and those boundaries must be respected by men. For a person to come in and to change the boundaries would get people doing things that are not authorized by God and would take them away from faithfully serving God. No wonder, then, the prophet Jeremiah told the children of God, "Seek the old paths. You look for the old ways wherein dwelleth righteousness. You go in the way that you have always been taught and the way that you've always been instructed by God." Sometimes people today are not satisfied with the old paths. They want new ways. And so they talk about something new and something exciting today that they haven't had in time gone by. Friends, our eternal redemption depends on us going by the ancient landmarks, not changing, not new things. Anybody can come up with something new that has never been done before, but he can't come up with authority for it. The Bible teaches that anything we do must be authorized. So that's the reason the Colossian letter chapter 3 tells us in verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What does the word "whatsoever" mean? Doesn't that mean just anything? Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, either what you say or what you do, you be sure that it's done in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to say it's in the name of the Lord? Now, we understand that if someone were to say it's in the name of the state of West Virginia, we would know what that means. If we would say it's in the name of the United States of America, we'd understand that it's by the authority of the United States of America. Well, what about doing things religiously? It must be in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, by his authority. Do you know there are things being practiced in religion that Jesus never did authorize, that do not come by the name of Jesus? Well, that being true, it becomes our responsibility to find out if what we're teaching and what we're believing came from God. So, I look at the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12, and I read this, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things which were written in the books. Now, the Bible will be open in judgment. When the day of judgment comes, and all of us, every one of us will be there, we're not going to be judged by some human creed. We're not going to be judged by the doctrines and the commandments of men. We're going to be judged by what the Lord has said. Isn't that what he said in John chapter 12 and verse 48? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, if I can understand English at all, I can understand that that verse says that what Christ says now will be the standard by which we will be judged. Now, how does he talk to us today? It's by his word, isn't it? The word of God. And so when I read the Bible, I know what Christ is saying. And that will be there when judgment comes. It would be a terrible mistake, wouldn't it, if a person would listen to words that were spoken by Jesus and say, I don't care what he has to say, or I just don't want to pay any attention to that, and turn away from his words. Friends, in judgment, we're going to face those words. We're going to be there before our master and account for the way we reacted to his word. It'll be too late then for us to say, well, I've changed my mind now. I've decided now I want to obey Christ. It'll be too late at that time. So what we need to do is during our lifetime, be sure that the landmarks of our salvation are the landmarks that are authorized by Christ. And in obedience to that, I have both the Father and the Son and their recognition. Well, let's look at some of those landmarks that people sometimes bother with. Change and move. You know, you've heard stories of people who took the markings for their property line and moved the markings. Well, that deals with a man's, temporal possessions. But what if a man is dealing with his spiritual landmarks? You know, one of the things that people in the Bible that we read about, one of the things that they recognized and that serves as a landmark is that they recognize Christ as the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Paul uses, in particular, the term body, a physical body, to describe Christ and the church. If he were talking about a body has many members, and it has one head. Now, if a body had more than one head, there'd be something wrong, wouldn't there? What if a head has more than one body? It would also indicate there's something wrong somewhere. So, a freak of nature would be the result of that kind of a situation. Well, what would that teach about the church if Jesus is the head of it? How many heads are there to the church? Would you imagine there are many heads to the church? No, friends, there's one. I read in the Colossian letter, chapter 1 and verse 18, and gave him to be head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Colossian letter, chapter 1, verse 18 says, and gave him to be preeminent in all things. He wanted his son to have the prime spot in regard to the church. So he gave his son to be head over the church. A body has one head. What about some physical body today, somebody who says, well, we have different heads to the church. Well, what also would be the result of having many bodies? Doesn't that make a problem? If Christ is the head of the church, what about this argument, all churches are a part and they are his bodies, many bodies, and they all have the approval of God? Well, it just doesn't fit with what the Bible teaches. Indeed, the Lord wants us to recognize the ancient landmarks, and we must recognize him as the head of the church. We'll talk some more about this tomorrow. Please be listening. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.